You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who does his own stunts, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It is time for Act Two here at Nightlight tonight. Great to have you with me. We've got a secret, DeLorean Walls had to cancel tonight, so we have a secret review of the film Ballerina coming up at 7:35. And our question of the night is, in honor of National Splurge Day, what is in your shopping cart? We'll catch up on texts in just a few minutes. And we talked a little bit in the first hour about how Conrad holds doors open for people and no one seems to thank him, regardless of demographic or age.
Yep.
It just doesn't happen. I'm sure he would love to hear or get some advice from all of you. And I had a guy bird dogging me at the gym the other night who wanted to work in, and I didn't know what to do with that. So we had it was a great conversation. But right now, I'm very excited. We've got my pal Dave Patterson is here. Dave is a movie producer and a writer and a playwright and a stuntman and a firefighter. And he does all kinds of things. He probably, do you do foot massages, Dave? Is that on your dossier?
Only
your
for the wife CV? On her okay. birthday and anniversary.
Only? So, yeah. Okay, just those two times. Is that because you don't want to do them at other times? Or is she just like, you're not touching my dogs unless it's a special occasion?
You know, we have an agreement. I don't want to go into it. She's an attorney there, you know, and there's an NDA that's been signed. So let's just say, you know, we've agreed to disagree on how many foot massages happen. And those are the two guaranteed ones.
I like it. I like how you guys make things work. And I always love to hear the word ergo or mea culpa when it comes to a foot massage. So
there you go.
Legalese. Absolutely. All right. So we were talking about all your various careers. And it's interesting. I always feel like, you know, especially as a writer, you have to bring stuff and life experiences to whatever it is you're writing. And you've got a stuntman background, and it sounds like you've done some really cool stunts, and you worked with Robin Williams. How was he, by the way? Was he pretty cool?
He was the most generous and incredible person I've ever worked with. He, and you know, he's a star, but he insisted on coming out of his trailer to watch me do his stunts to make sure I was okay.
Wow.
So the first person to help me off the mat from my high fall was Robin Williams, him helping me off the mat. Said, how are we doing, Chief? And then drowning in the East River, the first hand to reach out to me was Robin Williams. Someone else was holding his other hand because it was on a jetty.
Oh, man.
And he was helping me out of the water. He goes, how are we doing? Water looked chilly. How about that, Chief? And I'm like, yeah, it was a little chilly. I mean, for that, I had never experienced that on any other film set when I was doing stunt work, that the actors were concerned about the safety of their stunt people. And
what do you think about Tom Cruise, Dave? Like when he does these stunts, how protected? Like, I don't know if you saw the most recent Mission Impossible or the one where in Ghost Protocol he jumped to the other building and broke his leg or broke his foot. How protected is he? Like, is it a miracle he's still alive? Or do they take such precaution? And I know that there are insurance issues when you make movies. You have to really protect people. But what's your take on that?
Well, I'd have to say Tom Cruise, who I really respect as both an actor and a stuntman.
Yeah.
He does have a level of crazy, which you have to give him street cred for.
Sure.
I've never met a stuntman who's worked with him that has not given him the exact same.
Wow.
There are safety elements to protect you in certain stunts. But if you've seen, I'm not ruining this because you've seen it in all the trailers, he jumps out of an airplane with a flaming parachute. And yes, there is another parachute to help him as he's going down.
Right.
However, sometimes backup chutes don't open either. And so when you talk about pure, I guess, craziness in a lot of ways, or faith in yourself, or maybe he's best friends with Jesus, I don't know. But I think the most dangerous job on a Tom Cruise movie is the producer that okays those stunts. because they may be out of a job if that chute doesn't open. So, you know, I recently heard that he's getting an Oscar. He's getting an Oscar, the next Oscars, for his, you know, overall contribution to the film business. I think he deserves it, to be perfectly honest. I think he's a good actor, and I think he got kind of shortchanged in a couple things earlier in his career. But what he's done for the film industry overall, and especially for stuntmen, he's done a lot of things. They still need an Oscar for stunts, but
yeah,
we're working that way. We're working towards that.
Right. That's a great answer. So as we've discussed in the past on this show, you wrote and produced Bridge to Terabithia, the movie version. Your mom, Catherine Patterson, wrote that absolutely brilliant book. And I just want to tell you all what kind of guy Dave is. My daughter was reading it in fifth grade. I decided to read it with her because I knew you and because I wanted to see what she was reading. So we had that experience together. I thought it was one of the most beautiful things I've ever read. And there were a couple times I just couldn't stop crying. I teared up and it was just beautiful. Some very, very beautiful passages in the book. Dave agreed to meet with my daughter's class over, I don't even know if it was Zoom or if Zoom even existed then. It was pre-COVID, but you talked to her whole class, and I cannot say enough nice things about you. I still appreciate that to this day, and they got such a kick out of it. But how do you feel when this masterpiece your mom wrote is banned at various libraries throughout the country? I want to fight people when I hear that. I get so angry.
You just kind of shake your head. You shake your head because, you know, there's so many worse things in the world on the planet. And for them, because, you know, one of the big things is the young girl questions the existence of God. What kid doesn't question the existence of anything in today's world? Authority, you know, rules, regulations. And she doesn't say there is no God. She just questions it. And yet the book has been banned because of that. Some of the most ridiculous things is that the book suggests incest because the boy lives in the same or sleeps in the same bedroom with his sister because the house is like this big.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, that's definitely incest that, you know, you have an older boy sleeping in the same room with his younger sister. And it's like, well, do you know poor? Have you ever met a poor person?
Right.
Literally, you have four or five kids sleeping in the same room. And, you know, I don't think that's an orgy. I think it's just four kids having to live in the same room because that's all the space they have.
Wow.
So, you know, and ludicrous things. You know, part of it's based on me as a child. And my mother knew that we used to create forts down by this creek and we would play and imagine. And so she wrote about that in the book and people were like, oh, well, this is about witchcraft and, oh, you know, gosh, Santeria and all this stupid thing. Cause the kids are making their own worlds. You know, it's crazy. And, you know, we have discussed this, my mother and I and other folks over the years, we don't think it's that they don't want a very tragic thing happens. I don't know if we want to ruin it for all the audiences, but that really, really bad thing that happens in the book, adults don't want children to be exposed to that. So they find a myriad of excuses to ban the book so children do not have to face that horrible thing that happens to all of us at some point in our lives.
Right. Which your mom handled so beautifully in the book and explains it. Like, if anything, that's how you want kids to learn how to deal with loss or see an example of it. You know, to me, I just thought it was amazing. It's based on your childhood and a friendship you had. So you're right. You don't want to ruin it for people, but I do encourage everybody to read The Bridge to Terabithia.
It's about a young boy's friendship found and friendship lost.
Yeah.
And you have to read the book to see how that happened.
So great. David Patterson is my guest. He is a movie producer and writer of movies and plays. So tell us a little bit about, you had a unique experience as a volunteer firefighter, Dave. You live in the suburbs of New York. How have you been able to bring any of those experiences to your writing or acting or stunt work?
Well, it's an interesting question. I was a rescue worker at 9/11. I had a construction background, one of my thousands of jobs, and I specialized in demolition. And so I walked into Ground Zero after the attacks and worked there for a couple of days And when I came back out of it, I told my wife that there was two things that affected me. First of all, working alongside all the firemen, I wanted to become one, but I was already too old for New York City. They had a 30-year-old cutoff, and I was already 35. So I said, well, I think I could do it in town. And I want to become a fireman in town. And I've been now almost 25 years. Next year will be 25 years in the fire department.
Nice.
And then I also said, and I may get on a plane tomorrow, I may not land. So as a writer, I want to try to make a movie of my plays. I'd already had several plays done, some in New York City, but my career wasn't going anywhere. So I said, I'm going to take one of my plays and I'm going to make it into a movie. I'm going to send it to this film festival in California called Sundance. This is how ignorant I was. Sundance is in Utah, but I just knew Robert Redford was in charge of it. So I just assumed it was in California, Hollywood. And it got in. And literally my career as a writer producer took off in film. And that's primarily what I've been doing for all these years. But if you want to talk about finding characters in a fire department, let me tell you, that's a place to find characters and stories and steal them. A good writer always steals from people that they're unaware of. And then you just kind of change it around to make it your own. So the funny thing is, when I got into Sundance, the New York Times called my captain at the firehouse. And they said, we would like to talk to you about David Patterson. He said, this is New York Times? Like, yeah. You want to talk about Dave Patterson? Like, yeah. What do you do? And they said, well, he has a movie that's going to the Sundance Film Festival. My captain's like, well, what is the Sundance Film Festival? She goes, well, it's a film festival. It's like, Patty, he's like, no, he's a stay-at-home mom. He's probably vacuuming right now. He does not write. None of them knew I was a writer. None of them knew that I was an actor or stuntman. I just joined as a local guy. And they had no idea of my entertainment background. And so then they actually called me in and really grilled me about what I do in my life, because they knew me as a stay-at-home dad. They just figured I'd been unemployed for years and given up on looking for a job. And that's why I was home raising two boys.
That's so great. Have you seen the Manhunt, the search for Osama bin Laden? I'm asking you this because as someone who is so close to ground zero, just as a dad who had a one-year-old son when 9/11 happened, and I was scared to death because we were living in LA. I thought LA was next. I didn't know what was going on. It was right. Hard for me to watch the first 20 or 30 minutes of it. I don't want to watch those planes crash anymore. I just can't. I'm just done with it. I lived through it from a distance, obviously, not like you. But do you watch those shows? Or can you get into them, or is it too difficult?
Well, that one specifically, no. Every year when it comes around, when they start showing, the reenactments or the stories about, you know, the day that I do watch them, because the crazy thing is, and I'm not the only one to say this, those of us who were there still have trouble believing that it actually happened. I mean, to be there, I mean, people say you always remember the smell. I mean, firemen remember smell. That smell was so unique. I've been in a lot of fires and there's never been a smell like that again. And so
jeez.
I think a lot of us check ourselves. That work ground zero, and I don't know if you are familiar or the audience familiar, we've had more people die from cancers
right.
from working at ground zero than the people that actually died that day. And I've lost a couple friends, and there will be many, many more to come. So a lot of us that were there do watch these things because it's still did it because a lot of America has forgotten about it. So for a lot of us, it's like, it did happen. I'm pretty sure it happened. I was there. I saw it. I was a part of it.
And, this is great stuff. Let's pick up there. We'll have a couple more minutes with Dave Patterson after this very short break. Thanks. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba. Great to have you with me on this rainy Wednesday. Tony the Trucker. Our question is, what's in your shopping cart? Because it is National Splurge Day. Tony the Trucker says, Pete, it's whatever makes my wife happiest. That's pretty vague. And I read that because we'll get to the rest of your text. I knew Dave would like that one because you love a good wife joke, Dave.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've exhausted them after 30 years of marriage, so it's always good to hear another one.
Hey, speaking of which, tell us how you released a movie last year called The Girl Who Wore Freedom. You released it, I think, in 110 cities, close to D-Day. How did that movie do, and where can people see it?
Well, you can catch it on Amazon. It is on basically all the streamers. Okay. And that sort of dovetails to the story about the release last year. The film came out during the film festival circuit. You and I are familiar with the film festival circuit.
Yeah.
During the COVID film festival circuit. Oh, so man. It pretty much died a miserable death. Every festival got in, it won the award for best documentary. And we struggled to find distribution. And then not last December, but the December before, I told her, I said, you know what? We're going to put this in the movie theaters. And the filmmaker, she's like, there's absolutely no way we can do that because it's already on streaming. You know, we don't have a distributor. I'm like, no, we're the distributor. Because technology had changed so much that we weren't sending film cans to places. Right. We were sending, you know, the little DCP things or whatever you call them. Yeah. And so she goes, well, you know, what, you're going to go after the major chains? I went, absolutely not. I said, this is about America. This film is about America. It's about Americans who sacrificed everything. And it's we're coming up on the 80th anniversary. So like I said, it was 18 months ago. I said, this film's about D-Day. It's the 80th anniversary of D-Day. We're going to get it in theaters. And what I did is, and what I explained to people about the internet, it's great, not just for free porn, but there actually is valuable research that you can get out of it. So what I did is I researched all the mom and pop theater chains throughout the United States, and there are thousands of them where they own like four or five theaters, but each theater has two or three screens. And the average age of these owners are your age or my age or older,
right,
who had family in World War II, whether it be parents or cousins. And so I tracked down their emails. I reached out. I said, we'd like to do this for D-Day. We're looking to release a week before D-Day or through it and after. And we want to honor the veterans of your community. And again, I did the research. I said, you still have two World War II veterans in your community, or you have 12 in your community. And I said, this is an opportunity for you to honor the Americans that gave you the right to show whatever movie you want in your theater.
Love it.
And they bit. And we got it in over 110 theaters throughout the U.S. And it's a documentary. Do we make a ton of money? No, but I'm Scottish. We did not lose money. And that is the important thing. We made some cash. We made some cash. Everything got paid. And that was it. But
great,
it was a wonderful experience. And like Salt Lake City did a day of recognition. You know, they did a letter of recognized, I forget what it's called, but a proclamation.
Oh, okay.
And they honored all the veterans of World War II and all the veterans past and present. And they mentioned our show, and it was playing at this theater. And, you know, it was a wonderful experience because 85th, there's not going to be that many vets around.
Every year, right? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, this is shocking. When we did this, almost 2 years ago, there were 250,000 World War II veterans still alive. I don't know what it is now, but by the 85th anniversary, that number will probably be 50,000. And those are the guys that lied, who were like 14 and 15, that lied to get into the services.
To fight for their country. Wow.
Yeah.
Dude, that is... I don't know if people are listening. To self-distribute is a ton of heavy lifting. So I applaud you for that, Dave. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And I mean, I didn't know porn was
everyone
free.
Everyone was scared but me. Everyone was scared about it but me, because I'm the dumb stunt man. I'm like, oh, yeah, we can do it. No problem.
That's the Scottish in you, right? We can do this. I was going to make a free porn joke, but it just would have landed with a thud. My joke was going to be, I've got a $2,000 a month internet porn habit, so I didn't know it was free.
Yeah, all right. That's a badump dump joke.
Hey, next time you come on the show, I want you to tell your you say you pulled a Hasselhoff. We'll get into that next time. I cannot thank you enough for being here tonight, buddy. Always so much fun to talk to you. And I'm sure you'll have more stories next time you come back. Keep living life, bud.
Thank you, buddy.
All right. That's Dave Patterson. Go read Bridge to Terabithia, rent the movie, rent The Great Gilly Hopkins, look for Love Ludlow and The Girl Who Wore Freedom. A very prolific guy and a heck of a guy, Dave Patterson. So, Con, do we have time to play that? Let's play that Tom Cruise. This is sure. perfect segue because yeah. we have a clip about how crazy Tom Cruise is. Dave just talked about the stunt work Cruise does, and I found this clip. So let's hear that now.
I remember going up there, you know, just to see, just to look. And I sort of walked in, all these stunt guys with pulleys. Everyone was like sat on the floor, braced. It was completely silent. Everyone was really concentrating. And then I kind of crept towards the edge and I looked at, and Tom was just hanging there with this massive eating grin on his face, like having the most fun. Everybody was so serious and utterly petrified that something was going to go wrong. And there's Cruise just having the absolute time of his life.
All of a sudden we hear, woo! And Tom goes by outside, swinging way wide by. And then he makes a rough landing into one of the sides of the building and you hear, bam! And we're like, oh my God, our star's dead. And then we hear Tom laughing.
That was the scene, that was Simon Pegg talking, and they're talking about the scene where Cruise gets pulled out of the skyscraper, and he's on a cord, and they take precautions, but just incredible. That's actually not the clip I thought we had. I remember he was on a talk show with Rebecca Ferguson and some of the other cast members, so, but that was...
Yeah,
that was a great clip to watch. So anyway, when we come back, my son Joe will be here to talk about what he felt about, what's the movie? I can't... Ballerina. John Wick Ballerina. So we'll get into that right after the news. Thanks for being here, folks. This is fun. It's a Wednesday. What's in your shopping cart? It's National Splurge Day. We'll read some text when we come back, too. It's Peach Wobbin Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. How much do you love? Commit yourself. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Great to have you with me on a rainy Wednesday. We're about to find out if it's rainy in other parts of the state, but in Northeast Wisconsin here, it is. It's kind of sucky. Con, don't you? Do you agree with that statement?
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to the walk
to the garage.
Yeah,
we should bring an umbrella. We should be like those guys that like try to both crowd under an umbrella when we walk back to the. Just to make it weird.
I don't know if I know you that well.
To share. Well, I'll tell you one thing. If you hold a door open for me, I'm not going to thank you just to keep that hitting streak going. Our question of the night, folks, is what's in your shopping cart? And that is in honor of National Splurge Day. Conrad's dad checks in from Florida. He says, like Conrad, I have a golf club in my shopping cart. The ultimate splurge would be to hire a crew to build an all-brick patio around our all-season room. Our neighbor just spent... $30,000 on his new brick patio, which looks awesome, but wow, very pricey. People are really kind of shoehorning things into the cart, I think. I love that Monica Hale said there would be airline tickets so she could travel. Now your dad is saying he wants to build a brick patio. So he would find a way to put those things in a shopping cart. I love that. Thank you, Steve. What else do we have here? Kate from Stevens Point. She's in the 715, says Kinder eggs. Oh, that's a good one. Is there a little impulse buy eggs? I've seen those. And from the 818, Bridget says school stuff for my classroom, magnetic blocks, fidget rings. Okay, so Bridget's a teacher. That sounds very selfless. And now I feel ashamed at the things I wanted to put in my cart, which was all cool electronics and sound bars for movie watching at home and guacamole and chips. So now I feel like a real jerk. Thank you. Thank you, Bridget. Thank you, Steve. And thank you, Kate. Still time to get in on the fun. If you want to send us a text, we'll read it on the radio. Tomorrow night on the show, making the popcorn pick of the week will be the guy behind. Are you excited for this, Conrad? The guy behind the guy.
Behind the guy.
The guy.
Yep.
J.B. Thompson will be here in studio. This guy is making independent films. He's a brilliant marketer. I think he... People have referred to him as a marketing ninja. So we'll talk to JB. He will make the popcorn pick of the week. And JB has introduced us to a lot of guests, which I think has been great since we've been on the air. And then following JB on tomorrow night's broadcast will be Chelsea Myris. Chelsea, yeah, Chelsea Myris from Old World, Wisconsin. So that'll be fun, too. We'll talk about a really cool museum. We'll get a popcorn pick from our pal JB. And more great stuff tomorrow night on Nightlight. Right now. All right. So today, folks, earlier we got a call from DeLorean Walls. DeLorean helped found Brothers for Brothers, or Brothers Helping Brothers here in Green Bay. And we were going to have him on to talk about men's mental health because June is National Men's Mental Health Month. And DeLorean is very active in that world and with food insecurity as well. So we were going to have DeLorean on. He had a family emergency, so he had to bail kind of close to showtime, which that tells you it's a pretty serious thing. So we wish DeLorean well, whatever it is. Hopefully it's nothing too serious, and we will reschedule him in the near future and look forward to speaking with him. So filling in the bullpen, we're going for the lefty out of the bullpen on short notice. My best buddy in the whole world, and my son Joe Schwabe joins us now. Joe, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. Did I embarrass you with that intro?
No, I'm happy you called me a lefty. I mean, that's pretty cool.
Oh, that would be. You know,
I wish I was.
Your grandpa Tom, my wife's father, for those of you listening, suggested, because I was a bigger baseball fan than I am now, he said, tie his right arm down. Teach him to use his left hand because lefties, do you know that, Conrad? Lefties do, they more likely are to get drafted. What am I trying to say here?
Well, it's because against right-handed batter, they succeed more.
Right, but they're rare. They're more rare, yeah. Too. Yes, finding a left-handed pitcher, like even a mediocre lefty is going to make a lot of money. And I'm not saying it's probably too late for you, Joe. I hope that doesn't discourage you, but I had
my arm's tied down right now. I'm still committing. Even though you get ball given up on me, I'm still
fair enough.
Have dreams.
All right, so I thought this would be fun, Joe, because I know you just saw Ballerina from the universe or from the world of John Wick. Ballerina is technically the term. We spoke about it briefly on the show. I want to say with Matt Miller recently, who was kind of, I think, liked it, but didn't think it compared well to the other John Wicks. I'm still going to see it. What did you think, Joe?
I did not like Ballerina very much.
Okay.
I thought that it's just one of those movies that isn't very good. And I don't know exactly how to explain why. I think part of it was because I went into that bias of it being a part of a, you know, everything has to be a spinoff now. That's the only way they'll make movies and put them in the theaters if they're a spinoff. Like John Wick already has 4 movies.
Yeah.
And they're good. But did that? Why don't you make a new action movie? You know, so I think I just kind of had that bad taste in my mouth. And I like Ana de Armas a lot as an actress. I think she's a really good actress. I think she might have been slightly miscast in this.
How so?
Movie. Well, I think she suffers from something that I like to call actor's run.
What's that?
Actor's run is where you have, you know, someone that's been an actor for a very long time, and they never learn to run or throw a football or do some of these.
Oh, funny.
You know, athletic thing. You know, like some people, like Keanu Reeves, I think famously in Point Break, like almost got a scholarship or something to a college because he was so good at football.
In real life, you mean?
In real life.
Oh,
when he was Johnny Utah in Point Break. And then, you know, he does John Wick. And he's this athletic guy and it looks very real. But then there's people that I just didn't really buy Ana de Armas. You know, it always, when it would cut to her, she'd have this run that was just like, you know, and another movie that suffers from this is that one movie called Carry On that we watched on Netflix with Taron Egerton. And that dude cannot run at all. I mean, his pants were pulled up to like his mid torso. And he's running, and it's just like, he looks like a toddler or something.
That was so funny. I forgot about that because we were watching him run, and he's the hero of the movie, and he looks like a total spaz. And you just kind of don't buy that. So, and my buddy Mike Toomey always used to say that when they'd get actors to play athletes, and then all of a sudden they throw like they're using their left hand, and it's like, wow, really? You couldn't make that somehow? So what was it about Ana de Armas? That was it a run or something?
It was mainly the run. Okay. I guess the I just never, it never looked like she was doing that much damage. Cause I just, I don't know. And I, maybe Ana de Armas is a very athletic person. I don't want to make any assumptions, but yeah. It didn't seem like when they would cut to her running or throwing a punch, it didn't feel like, you know, some like, who's, why can't I think of her? Mad Max Fury Road.
Oh,
why can't I think of her name?
I'm totally blanking too. Oh my She's gosh. One of my favorite actors.
I can't think of her name. Can we look that up? Is that
yeah?
Is
I'm
that
looking it up right now.
I keep thinking Keira Knightley. It's not Keira Knightley. It's
Fury Road. No,
can you give me a hint?
Yeah.
Is this bad radio right now?
It is bad radio, but it's okay. I got the director right here. Here we go. A Charlize Theron, of course.
Oh, Charlize Theron.
She's like one of my favorite actors. I kind of blanked.
I know. Like when she punches, it feels like there's something to that. Or she runs, you know, or Tom Cruise, obviously, just with Mission Impossible. You know, he's running and he's.
Absolutely.
I don't know. They're athletes.
So, and you're right about Keanu Reeves. Like, he has been taking martial arts for 20 years, too. Like, the guy knows how to fight and he was athletic and he can pull that off. All right. So I want to say on Rotten Tomatoes, Ballerina got like a 60%. What would you give it if you had to just give it a percentile?
I mean, I want to start being a little harsher on these franchise movies that come out because I think that it's bad for the industry. So I would probably give it like a 20 or a 30.
Wow. Really?
I'm getting real sick of it. You know, every Marvel movie, I mean, they're being a little harder on Marvel movies now, but
yeah.
I just don't think everything should be a 8 out of 10 or 9 out of 10. It's like, it didn't always used to be like that. So I think we got to start being a little more critical on some of these expanded universe movies. Like, what else is getting rebooted now? Like,
well, the 28
How to Train Your Dragon gets a live action.
That got like in the 70s, but it crushed at the box office. It's supposed to be really good. Audiences love it, obviously. But here's another one. Here's another franchise. 28 years later opens up this weekend. 84 reviews are in, a 95%.
That's
Danny Boyle, too. I think people are excited that he's directing this again. And I have no doubt it's good. That's one I want to believe.
Makes me look very hypocritical because I am very excited for that movie. So.
Well, I know what you're saying, though. And I've had like when Matt Miller or Rob Thomas or Chris Foreigner on the show, they've agreed with me that some reviewers kind of pull their punches a little bit. And it's because they don't want. And I think it's some of the lesser ones, not necessarily like the New York Times or Variety, but they don't want to lose their press passes or their press credentials. So they don't really hammer these franchise films. But let me ask you this. Joe Schwabe, my son, is here. We're talking about Ballerina. He is the lefty out of the bullpen filling in for DeLorean Walls, who could not be here. Joe, you do comedy sports. You write. You're an actor. How do you feel? Where do you weigh in on these actors that judge other actors for doing Marvel films? Now, you're at a point in your career. You've done some indie films and commercials and stuff like that, but wouldn't you jump at that? I mean, put the serious actor side away and because you like Marvel movies. Where would you come in on that?
Where would I come in?
Of course you do it, right?
I would. There's nothing I wouldn't do to be in a Marvel movie. I mean, I don't think we fully understand how desperate I am. I would do anything.
All right.
I don't care. Yeah, I do. I mean, maybe if you're a really good actor, you know,
that like a Shakespeare,
a career. Like, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I liked Marvel for a long time.
I know you did.
A lot of those movies are good. Just it's getting a little ridiculous now, I think.
All right. So, I appreciate you filling in, Joe, and I don't know how this cut into your social life tonight or not, but I appreciate you taking the time. Is it raining in Milwaukee?
It is. It is raining.
All right. So it's not just us. I want to ask you before we let you go, what else are you watching? Is there anything you're excited about that you can recommend?
You see, I'm going to sound like even more of a hypocrite now because I just finished Andor, which is a Star Wars spinoff.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Okay.
It's awesome. That's an awesome show.
Con, what do you say to that? I'm not trying to start something here, but I got my actual son and my work son here. Some people have a work wife. I have a work son. What do you think about that, Con?
I mean, I watched one episode and I kind of got bored, so I just haven't resumed it.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. Thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it. Dude, get out of here. That's all I have to say about it. Give it a shot.
Okay.
Give it a shot.
Listen, I'm going to give it a shot. Jimmy Cusco was on the show, Civic Media Sports Director. He binge watched both seasons and absolutely loved it. So that was all I needed. But the fact that you're saying you liked it, and Con only gave it one episode, so I'm probably going to I'm gonna lean towards checking it out. Joe, can we keep you through a really quick break here? And we'll wrap this up when we come back. I want to hear what movie. After this break, I want to hear what you thought about Andor, and I want to ask you what you're most excited to see of the movies that are coming out this summer. We'll do that with our guest, Joe Schwabba. Coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. Yeah. Oh, where can you go when your money gets low? In the basement,
down in the basement. And if a storm is taking place, you can dance. Welcome back. We are in the home stretch here at Nightlight tonight on this gorgeously rainy. It's not raining now, but the second I walk out and go to my car, it'll start raining again. So that's exciting. We got a text from Steady Eddie. Our question tonight, folks, was it's National Splurge Day. What's in your shopping cart? Steady Eddie says, Pete, for my splurge, all I want is one golf club, Augusta National or maybe Pebble Beach Golf Club in California. See what he did there? I like that. He says it has some beautiful ocean views. Fantastic. Thank you, Steady Eddie. Hope you're having a great night, buddy. So we have a couple more minutes here with my son and film connoisseur, Joe Schwabba, who is giving up part of his Wednesday night here on short notice to fill in for DeLorean Walls, who we will rebook. But Joe, so where do you, I asked you what you thought about Ballerina and how you would rank it on the tomato meter. Like if you could give it all the reviews and you said 20 or 30%. What about Andor?
First of all, connoisseur might be a bit much for me.
Okay.
I would say
movie fan.
Enjoyer. Enjoyer. I don't know. Okay. I would say Andor, man, 80 or 90.
It's funny. Jimmy Casca said it. He thought it was the best the Star Wars franchise had to offer. One of the best. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. I absolutely agree. I think it's probably the best piece of Star Wars content I've ever seen. Maybe not my favorite, but the best, like when it comes, like as a piece of, you know, television.
Yeah.
I would say.
Wow. Very nice. So, So what would you tell someone like me? You know, my relationship with Star Wars, I grew up, I saw the early ones and I liked it. But I kind of fell off. I think I've seen everything the franchise has had to offer, and I'm a fan, but I'm stretched out over 40 years. It kind of all runs together at times. What would a casual Star Wars fan think of Andor? Is there something in Andor for a casual Star Wars fan?
I mean, yeah, I remember we used to watch it all the time when my left hand was tied to the table when we were
I still did, and I still didn't get a lefty out of the deal.
No, you got a Star Wars fan though.
Yeah, all right, I'll take that.
I think that it's directed by the Bourne Identity.
Oh yeah,
director or not director? I don't. Did Tony Gilroy direct? I think he wrote the Bourne movies.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And he's actually somebody, and I've watched an interview with him, and he's somebody that said that he didn't really like Star Wars that much when he got the job.
Really.
And he kind of wanted to make it his own and kind of cater to people. like you, who might not be as big a fans of Star Wars.
Yeah.
And I would say you could watch this show and not know anything about Star Wars at all.
And still,
and
dig
it would
it.
Still be a good show, because I think it makes up for a lot of the things Star Wars lacks. Really great character relationships. The characters feel like they, each one of them has a life.
Okay.
And relationships and wants and needs. Sometimes Star Wars characters don't always feel like that.
Yeah.
And maybe some of the newer movies or the prequel series, they didn't always feel like fleshed out characters, but Andor, they really do. They feel like characters you can relate to.
That's interesting. And listening, we got a text on the text line. Everett in Sun Prairie is listening to our conversation and said, here's, he addresses Conrad directly. Con, bud, watch the show. Andor and Rogue One are the best product in the Star Wars universe since the original run. They are gritty and human and emotional. If the rest of us, if the rest of the franchise could capture that tone, they would never get old. Good on you, Joe. And then Everett continues and says, Skeleton Crew is definitely solid too. Sort of a Goonies meets Star Wars vibe. And then Everett says, not a Star Wars nerd, by the way, just a casual fan. Okay. That's enough for me to watch Andor. Between Jimmy and Joe and Everett, I agree. I don't know Skeleton Crew. Do you guys know that?
I've heard of it. I've not seen it. I will say to Everett, it feels better once you finally just accept it. You know?
What do you mean?
Accept you're a Star Wars nerd. Just... I mean, the few, the proud, right? We got to stick together.
But I don't think, let's not, you know, guilt Everett into thinking he has to be full blown Star Wars nerd. I'm more along the lines of Everett here, too. So,
I'm not guilting Everett. I'm saying I want to celebrate him.
Those are great texts. Yeah. Joe, what are you looking forward to this summer? Like, I don't know, next time you'll make it up to Marinette, but what do you want to go see? I'm really excited about 28 Years Later that opens this weekend. A 95% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, yeah. I'm really excited for that as well. I'll definitely be seeing that movie. I really want to see Friendship.
Yeah,
I haven't seen that yet, and I really need to because I've heard really good things. I want to see that. I do want to see Superman. I'm interested.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued. I got to at least see it to see what's, you know, what James Gunn is doing with it. I'm kind of curious. And then I want to see the new Naked Gun movie with Liam Neeson. That looks interesting.
I'm so torn about it. I mean, I'll see it, but it just did not need to be remade. He's great. Look, Liam Neeson does the same movie all the time, but he's great at that. But aside from that, he's also a great and highly trained actor before he got into the action realm. I will say this about 28 Years Later. Jodie Comer, Aaron Taylor-Johnson, Ralph Fiennes, great cast. So I'm excited to see that too. Joe, thank you so much for your time, buddy. I miss you and have a great night. We'll do this again, I hope. Thanks for filling in.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You got it, buddy. All right, that's Joe Schwabe. I'd like to also thank Dave Patterson. Great catching up with Dave. Thank you for all your texts and calls. I know, Con, you're going to give Andor another try now? You're getting pressure from all over the place.
You know, I'm always looking for a show to binge, so I might as well go back.
All right, why not? I'll tell you what. You watch it, and I'll watch it. And we'll compare notes at some point. Maybe by next week when I'm back from Madison. All right. Thanks so much, folks. Always fun spending time with all the fellow couch potatoes. And on behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad. Good night, Wisconsin. We're making out.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.